Exodus 23, verses 1 through 8 is our message today. And this is what it says there. Do not spread false reports. Do not help a guilty person by being a malicious witness. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not prefer justice by siding with the crowd, and do not show favoritism to a poor person in a lawsuit. If you come across an enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to return it. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you fallen down under its load, do not leave it there. Be sure you help them with it. Do not deny justice to your poor people in their lawsuits. Have nothing to do with a false charge, and do not put an innocent or honest person to death, for I will acquit the guilty. Do not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds those who see and twist the words of the innocent. And this is the word of God for the people of God. And God's people said, thanks be to God. Amen. As we go into our first week of our sermon series on God's justice for our time, we're going to start, of course, with this scripture from Exodus. And I want to focus on true justice. True justice. Have you ever been frightened? If you were asked to tell someone the scariest thing on earth to you, what would your answer be? For some people, something as simple as spiders or mice will force them to leave the room. Or if you're like me, flying things that sting, wasps and bees and yellow jackets or hornets, they force me to give them as much space as they absolutely need to do whatever it is they need to do. Or maybe for you, it's one of those Stephen King-like psychological thrillers, like Nope or Get Out, that leaves you sitting on the edge of your seat. Or maybe you remember a roller coaster ride that took you to the highest point on the rail and then plunged you down a slope so steep and so fast that you could actually feel your stomach and your throat shouting as they pass one another in the same cramped space about 5 inches below your navel cavity. Or maybe the scariest thing for you would be for you to be in your car in winter on an icy road when your car started spinning around in uncontrollable circles until it stopped. And when it did, you found yourself facing the wrong way on the highway with a 40-foot semi-trailer truck headed at you at about 70 miles an hour. I still remember that night. Or how frightened do you think you'd be if the fear of all of those events were combined into one moment in time? I wonder if that's the feeling people get when they are expecting justice, but realize that the person or persons responsible for the outcome of their situation have lied or paid someone to prevent the truth from being told. Personally, I think the scariest thing in the world is the lack of truth. For some people, that's scarier than spiders or roller coasters or whirlwind ice spins on the highway or bee stings, because the lack of truth has the ability to subvert justice, take human life, and unduly weight the scales of justice so that true justice can never be realized. We live in a world where lies are being told and sold as the truth while at the same time cries for true justice are becoming more commonplace. Perhaps it's because now it's easier to bend the truth than tell the truth. And we've become more aware of how justice and its truth can be perverted rather than asserted in ways that provide evidence that true justice is a reality. Maybe it's because we too easily see how justice is denied rather than justice being applied equally to all. We seem to be reliving a time where justice and fairness appear as deceptions in culture and court more frequently than true justice is being applied evenly and fairly across the board. In both the case of truth and justice, it may be that truth and justice have become whatever those in power say it is. And yet there is a standard set by God in which justice can only be true justice if and only when truth and justice are connected at the heart like conjoined twins. If we've done more than heard the word of God and are willing to do the word of God, then true justice will stand against any system of injustice constructed out of lies and inequality, regardless of who is being brought before the court of truth. You see, friends, justice in the secular world, as it has been imagined and as we understand it, is a concept that includes the moral and ethical standards by which people are treated fairly and equitably. The idea that justice should be equally distributed goes back, at least in this country, to the words of the preamble to our Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that among these rights are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. At its inception, the words of this document were thought to involve as a major principle the just distribution of rights and resources and opportunities. Its words really sought to establish and uphold the principles of equality and fairness and righteousness as a tool to resolve conflicts, protect rights, and promote harmony within the community or society. This concept isn't too far off from God's declaration of justice as a premise for our human relationship with each other. But as we discovered, those secular words aimed at creating a just system fell short. If it were self-evident that all men were created equal, why were the scales of justice weighted to exclude the poor, the widows, the foreigners, women, and people of color from participation in the implementation of that equality? These eight verses from the 23rd chapter of Exodus follow God's law delivered to God's people by Moses from Mount Sinai. Though God's law lacked nothing regarding how we should establish a just community, the people sought to clarify the relationship of justice for all who would be a part of the community, especially if they were going to conform to God's standard of true justice. According to our scripture, that would mean avoiding those pitfalls that lead to any imbalance on the scales of justice. Things like lying and sending out fake news and following the crowd or getting caught up with the mob just to be a part of the action were things to be avoided. And there is also the understanding that being poor is no excuse for making poor decisions, nor is poverty a loophole to subvert justice or to avoid having justice administered. But true justice was to ensure that the poor weren't unfairly punished for being poor. It ensured against animal cruelty as a way to punish our enemies for being our enemies, and was enthusiastically against taking or paying a bribe to weight the scales of justice in favor of the rich and powerful. On the surface, the words of our text seem like a don't do this and don't do that list designed to restrict and prohibit. But there is an underlying standard that sets the foundation for all of these do not clauses of justice, a standard that is established to make sure that not only is justice done, but that it is done fairly, and that justice is true, and not true to some arbitrary principles of law, but true to God and who God is and what God wants for us as a standard of true justice. You see, friends, the foundation and standard of true justice, God's justice, begins with the truth. It starts with total and unbiased honesty, and an honesty that favors neither the rich nor the poor, but it is distributed fairly to everyone. There is something about true justice, the justice that God desires for us, the justice that we owe to each other, that demands that we begin with the truth, telling the truth, living the truth, acting in truth. Truth is the element of our character that should guide our thoughts. It is from truth that our actions spring forth to ensure that true justice is utilized. And it happens because truth is the unalterable reality of God, who is just and practices justice. In the movie The Hurricane, Reuben Carter, played by Denzel Washington, is about to hear the judge's decision in his final appeal. And Carter has served 20 years of a life sentence for a triple homicide he did not commit. And if the judge upholds the conviction, then Reuben Hurricane Carter faces life with no chance of parole. But at his appeal hearing, he decides to stand up and make an appeal of his own, to make one that invites justice and truth to become one as God intended it to become. What he did was he stood in front of the judge and pled his case and basically said that my whole life has been around hurting people. I'm a professional prize fighter, and I'm supposed to hurt people, but I'm not a killer. I don't murder people. He said, but for 20 years I've been in this prison and I've been denied justice. I've been denied justice. And he asked the judge to simply step up and say, what I want you to do is not to deny me justice. No, use justice. Embrace that higher principle for which the law was meant to serve. Embrace that higher principle for which the law was meant to serve. Justice. After serving 20 years being wrongly convicted because of lies, do you think it's a coincidence that God insists that truth is foundational to true justice? Do you think it's a coincidence that Jesus claims not only is he the way, but that he is the truth and the life? Do you think it's a coincidence that Jesus speaks to God and in a prayer in the Gospel according to John, invites God in that prayer to sanctify us by the truth, saying, your word, O God, is truth? Is it just a coincidence that David prays to God and asks that God will ride victoriously in the cause of truth, humility, and justice, and that a scepter of justice will be the scepter of God's kingdom? Or that as God's people, we are encouraged to put on and stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around our waist, with the breastplate of righteous judgment held properly in place, true justice. Justice that represents the heart of justice in God's name can only be implemented when justice is wrapped in the truth as God's system of justice demands. Truth is foundational to ensuring that true justice can be meted out fairly to everyone, even to the animals, so that no one, not even animals, may become a victim of people's lies or deceit or evil or vengeance and injustice. It is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth that ensures that true justice will be practiced without partiality in our world according to God's plan. But in many places in our world, true justice has been compromised by a distorted and twisted truth of our own making. The truth, God's truth, has now become secondary to whatever our view and understanding and belief is, a person's individual truth. And God's justice, true justice, has been perverted by our human need for power and control, our need to be God within our own world. It now seems that our personal truth is the only truth that really has any value. It seems that the justice is now guided by the belief that truth is whatever we say it is. And in a world where our truths rise above God's truth, cries for justice are becoming more commonplace. And those cries are for a true justice, not a perverted justice where those with the deepest pockets and those who have the ability to unfairly weight the scales of justice in their favor always benefit. People are looking for justice where equality and fairness are applied across the board for everyone. But what we have is not true justice. What we experience is not true justice. What we see playing out in our lives is not true justice. What we see more often than not is a justice that doesn't even come close to representing the justice that God has desired for us. What we live with is that distorted justice where gun lobbyists and their money out-justice the parents and the students who live with the constant fear of gun violence in their schools. True justice for those parents and students and everyone else means changing the gun laws. Following the murder by police of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and a long list of other African Americans by police, people cried out for justice with shouts of Black Lives Matter. It's not the first time, nor will it be the last time, that Black men and women see true justice missing in action from their lives. Some people have long held that capital punishment isn't justice, but that it's nothing more than a system of revenge and vengeance against those who don't have the financial resources to receive true justice in the courts. True justice would remove from a system the ability for false evidence to be introduced within the justice system. The litany of persons whose verdicts have been overturned after having been found guilty is yet another example of how justice can be twisted and distorted and perverted against those who lack the financial resources to receive true justice. That's evidence that justice, as it is currently practiced, has some serious flaws. And just ask people who have died or remain imprisoned in foreign countries what justice looks like to them after they have been falsely imprisoned or poisoned in the name of justice. Ask them whether justice was true or not. And please, brothers and sisters, don't get this twisted. Don't misunderstand me. I know that there are honorable people, people of integrity with strong character who wouldn't think of perverting or subverting justice by caving in and accepting bribes or by knowingly telling lies on someone. But God's word also reminds us in Ecclesiastes that bread is made for laughter and wine gladdens life, and money answers everything. For some people, accepting money is the easy way to ensure that you're taken care of, while the poor and those without resources are left to suffer the injustice of less noble persons. In our day and time, God's way of doing justice seems to have flown out the window for some people. In recent times, we've become aware of persons being released from prison who were convicted and sentenced to prison only to find out later that they were innocent of the crimes they were charged with. And how many of those who didn't come out died because they were sent to the gas chamber or the electric chair or hung by the neck until dead. And we've acknowledged the truth that people who were knowingly guilty because of their wealth and power were able to skirt true justice and walk free as if nothing happened. And so it is that bribes are being paid out, or the powerful are turning a blind eye to any idea of integrity or justice. The wealthy bond out of jail while the poor are held over for arraignment because they can't afford adequate legal counsel and don't have the financial resources to pay their bond. And so the poor are left to rely on overloaded and overworked public defenders who have neither the time nor resources to give adequate counsel to their clients. Is that true justice? And yet God requires something different than a justice system that favors the rich and powerful. God's justice has to do with us and how we exercise fairness and equal judgment among each other, regardless of our state of wealth or poverty. You see, friends, justice isn't something that occurs when we just go along to get along. True justice can never be at the forefront of fair and equitable treatment as long as our individual truth takes precedence over and above God's truth. As long as people are willing to substitute their truth and what they want over God's desire for human life, fairness, and equality under God's view of justice. And the same is true when the scales of justice are distorted by lies to favor the poor. Deferring to the poor in matters of justice is just as much a violation of true justice as showing deference to those who are rich. If the scales of justice are to balance out in God's eyes, then everyone must be judged rightly by the truth, whether they're rich or poor, black or white, brown or yellow, alien or citizen. Therefore, true justice, at least in God's view, even extends to our relationship with our enemies. And whatever emotional detachment we feel about our enemies in ways that affect their pets. Perhaps God is reminding us of the importance to do true justice when the importance of truth is emphasized, because as Proverbs 25:22 says, bearing false witness against a person is like beating that person with a war club, or stabbing that person with a sword or a sharp arrow. And as Paul reminds us, if your enemies are hungry, give them bread to eat. And if they are thirsty, give them water to drink. For you will heap coals of fire on their heads, and the Lord will reward you. And maybe that's why Jesus reminded all who had ears to hear, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to see me. Maybe it's because true justice is doing justice, making certain that those who are the most vulnerable and those who are most powerful will be treated with the same affect, to be treated with the same sense of fairness, to be judged with the scales of justice balanced with the equity and compassion of God. There's a story about a large, prosperous downtown church, and they had three mission churches under its care that it had started. And on the first Sunday of the new year, all the members of the mission church came to the one big church for a combined communion service. And in those mission churches, which were located in the ghettos and slums of the city, there were some outstanding cases of conversions. Thieves and burglars and all kinds of people were transformed by the love and grace of God, and they all knelt side by side at the communion rail. On one such occasion, a pastor saw a burglar that once used to be a burglar, but had then given his life to Christ, kneeling beside a judge who was on the Supreme Court of that area. And the judge that he was kneeling beside was the same judge who had sent him to jail, where he had served 7 years. And after he is released, the burglar had been converted and became a Christian worker. And yet there they were kneeling at the same altar. And neither one of them seemed to be aware of one another. Well, after the service, the judge was walking home and the pastor and said to the pastor, did you notice who was kneeling beside me at the communion rail this morning? And the pastor said, well, yeah, but I didn't think you noticed. And they walked a little bit further and nobody said anything to anybody. And finally, the judge said, what a miracle of grace. And the pastor nodded in agreement. Yes, what a marvelous miracle of grace. That then the judge said, but to who are you talking about? And the pastor said, why? To the convict that was converted. And the judge said, but I wasn't talking about him. I was thinking of myself. Pastor had this surprised look on his face and he said, you were thinking of yourself. He said, I don't understand. And the judge said, you know, it didn't cost that burglar much to get converted when he came out of jail. He didn't have anything but a history of crime behind him. And when he saw Jesus as his Savior, he knew there was salvation and hope and joy for him. And he knew how much he needed that help. He said, but look at me. I was taught from the earliest infancy to live as a man of honor, that my word was to be my bond, that I was to say my prayers and go to church and take communion and so on. And I went through a major college and took my degrees and was called to the bar and eventually became a judge. He said, Pastor, nothing but the grace of God could have caused me to admit that I was a sinner on the same level with that burglar. It took much more grace to forgive me for all of my pride and self-deception to get me to admit that I was no better in the eyes of God than that convict that I had sent to prison. And you see, brothers and sisters, that's true justice. When we begin to see ourselves and each other as equal, then and only then will true justice prevail. True justice exalts the lowly and humbles the proud. True justice is undergirded by the truth, God's truth, that everyone is the same and no one deserves preference or deference because of who they are. And God's desire is we do justice among ourselves and with our friends and enemies alike. God's will is that we do justice among the poor and the rich alike. God's will is that true justice, the fair and equitable performance of justice between all of God's creation, will become the standard applied to every living thing. And if we can do that, then perhaps one day among God's people and in every corner of the earth, justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And that is the word of God today for the people of God today.